Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7, we continue our study of Paul's letter to the church at Rome. And it's a great letter. We consider it the foundational letter in the New Testament. We see great truth dealing with sin and salvation, the work of Christ for us, the Christian life, and not only theological truths, but practical truths as well. We see about Israel, the church, even end time events and future events. This morning, as we move to Romans chapter 7, we begin seeing what sometimes we call the conflict in the Christian life. In fact, we do it this way. Sometimes Romans chapter 6, we say Romans chapter 6 is victory in the Christian life. Romans chapter 7 is conflict in the Christian life. It really deals with two things. It deals with the law, and it deals with conflict within. There's a lot in this section. I want you to realize a great truth, that when we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, remember, we died and rose again with Christ. We're placed in union with Him. We died and rose again, and we're a new person. As we saw in chapter 6, when we died and rose again with Christ, we died to the flesh, to that natural bent to sin. We died, and we can serve God. Well, I want you to understand something also, that we find in Romans chapter 7, when you trust in Jesus Christ as Savior, and you died and rose again with Christ, you died to the law, so that you can serve God. And we're going to talk about that. In fact, as we look at our passage this morning, we're going to talk about dying and rising again in Christ, dying not only to the flesh, but dying to the law. And we need to talk about, what does that mean? What are we talking about? How does all this fit together? The goal is to gain an understanding this morning from God's perfect word as we look at this truth. I had a friend who trusted Christ as Savior. It was a great day. He went from being dead in sin to alive in Christ, from darkness to light. He became a child of God. He was very excited. He came to me and he said, "JB, listen, I'm a Christian now, so tell me what I'm supposed to do. Give me the rules. I mean, give me the rights and the wrongs, and I just want to know what I'm supposed to do. Just give me the stuff. Give me the rules." Well, I want you to understand that many Christians and many in churches think this way. For some reason, many believe that the Christian life is lived by a set of rules. The rights and the wrongs. Just tell me what to do. Tell me how to dress. Tell me where to go. Tell me what kind of things I ought to do. Many say this, if I just don't do the wrong things, then I'm going to be a spiritual person. We're going to see a great truth this morning as we move into chapter 7. Listen carefully. We do not live the Christian life by a set of rules. We are not under the law. We must understand that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, we died and rose again with Christ. And just as we saw in chapter 6, we died to the flesh, we're going to see in chapter 7 that we died to the law. Now, what I'm going to say this morning, it may be new to some people concerning the truths on how to live the Christian life, because a lot of people are both taught that when you become a Christian, there's a set of rules, a set of laws, a set of things that this is how you're supposed to live. Well, as we look at chapter 7 of Romans, we want to have an understanding of how some of this thing fits. In fact, we know it's not law. In fact, we're going to see that it's not the law in which we live the Christian life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit who's inside of us in which we live the Christian life. As we move to Romans chapter 6 and 7, we have moved from the issue of salvation, which was, of course, chapters 1, 2, and 3, 4, and 5, 6, the first five chapters dealt with that we were sinners and we needed a Savior and we got saved by faith in Christ. And now in chapter 6, we'd say, well, that's victory in the Christian life. Chapter 7, we'd say it's conflict in the Christian life. Well, there's a lot here, and there's a lot that we can understand. And I pray that this morning you'll listen, we'll see how it fits together. Now, as we think about the Christian life, the question comes up, and we've been talking about this for the last 3 to 4 weeks. How do I live? I trusted Christ as my Savior. I have eternal life. I'm going to heaven. How am I supposed to live? How do I live in victory? How do I make it? We saw in chapter 6 that there were three words that stood out that we needed to know. There was the word know, consider, and present. We know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. We have died to the flesh. We consider the fact that we're dead to sin but alive in Christ. We don't have to serve our flesh anymore. And the third thing was present. Do not present ourselves to the flesh, but present ourselves to God. That's God, the Holy Spirit, inside of us. To know, to consider, to present. We spent 4 weeks or 5 weeks on Romans chapter 6 as we went through that. And the question is raised then. And Paul knew that question would be raised, and that's why he deals with it in chapter 7. Well, then, what about how do we live the Christian life? If we know, we consider, we present, we're dead to sin, alive in Christ, and we're supposed to live by presenting ourselves to God, then what about the Christian life? What about the law? What about the rules? How do we live? What am I supposed to do? I'm going to quote for you one of the leading theologians in the United States, and here's what he says. He says, "The Christian life is lived as we obey the Mosaic law. The rule of life of the Christian is the law." I want you to understand something. That's wrong. That's not true. We are not under the Mosaic law as a rule of life. In fact, we are not now and never have been under the Mosaic law as Christians. I want you to think about something that we're going to see. We'll see it. We've seen it already in Romans, and we're going to see it a little bit more as we go through, especially in this chapter. What happens to a Christian when we put ourselves under a law system in which we seek to live the Christian life? Do you know what happens? We sin. In fact, I'm going to say it and I'll explain it later. When you put yourself under a law system, the law system affects your flesh and it causes you to sin. Now you may say, I've never heard this before. We'll look at it in Romans 7. When we go through it, we'll see how this fits together. I'll explain it as we see it. There's a great truth. Just as we died to the flesh, that we saw in Romans chapter 6, and we're set free to serve God, we also died to the law, so we are set free to serve God. Let me show you how this fits. Romans chapter 7 can be divided into two parts. I've got an overhead here that's Romans chapter 7, two sections. Part one is what we're going to be seeing in the next couple of weeks, the law. We died to the law. That's verses 1 through 13. We find out that when we put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and we died and rose again to Christ to a new life, we died to the law. The first six verses, which we're going to look at today, is going to talk about the believer's relationship to the law. I want you to see how it fits, because there's confusion on that. Then next week, we're going to look at verses 7 through 13, where we talk about law and sin. They go together. Now, that may seem strange that law and sin go together, but they do, and we'll see how it fits. Then the last part of the chapter is the one that most people think about when they see it. Verses 14 to 25 talk about conflict in the Christian life, and in verses 14 to 23 is the conflict within. He says something like this: the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. That's Romans 14 through 23, chapter 7. And then we'll see victory toward the end of that chapter on how all this fits. So Romans chapter 7, two big parts. This morning and next week, we're going to talk about the law, because this is what he deals with. We die to the law, our relationship to the law and sin and all that. And then the next couple of weeks after that, conflict in the Christian life. Now, as we begin this morning, we need to stop and think about law. And you need to understand it, because there's a truth that we've already seen in the book of Romans in chapter 6, verse 14. Paul said, we're not under law, we are under grace. Well, what does this mean? How does all this fit? We need to understand this whole aspect of law. And let's stop for a minute. I want you to think and listen carefully, because this is some truth that you need to be able to grasp. When we talk about law, there are two aspects of law. There's law as a system, which is the Mosaic law, and then there's law as a principle. Let me explain them to you. First of all, the law as a system. There was the Mosaic law. It was given to the nation of Israel. Now, we all know what the Mosaic law is. In fact, if you had a Jewish Bible, the first five books of the Jewish Bible is called the Torah, T-O-R-A-H. That's law. That's what they call it. Now, the Mosaic law was given to the nation of Israel on Mount Sinai. It is a set of commands given by God to the nation of Israel. There were 622 commandments in the Mosaic law, dealing with the moral code, the sacrificial system, the civil life, the relationship with each other. It is how the nation of Israel worshiped and lived. It's not how they were saved, it's how they worshiped and lived. It was a temporary system, beginning with Moses and ending with the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he shed the blood, his blood of the new covenant. If you remember on the Last Supper, the last night before Jesus goes to the cross, he tells the men that he's going to shed his blood, the blood of the new covenant. The old covenant is the law. The new covenant is this grace aspect. We've been seeing this in the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night. If you want more details, you can download the book of Hebrews off the internet. You can get the tape, so you can come on Wednesday night and we can catch you up and you can see what's going on there. Romans chapter 10, verse 4 says, Christ is the end of the law to all who believe. Romans 6, 14, we're not under law, but under grace. So sometimes when you look in the Bible and you look in the context, you'll see that he's talking about law and he's talking about the Mosaic law, law as a system. Okay? Now, let me remind you of something. As a Christian, you have never been under the Mosaic law. You will never be under the Mosaic law. There's a second aspect of law, and that's law as a principle. There is a concept and there are truth that there are certain things right, certain things wrong. That's always been true. Before there was ever a Mosaic law, after there's Mosaic law, there are rights and wrongs. Romans chapter 2 calls it the law of God. In fact, it says that in every human being, we saw this way back in chapter 2, that the law of God is written on our hearts. It's called a conscience. Every one of us in this room have a conscience. A conscience tells us right from wrong. Now, you can sear your conscience. You can do things wrong. wrong long enough that it doesn't even bother you anymore. But there is a concept that there is a right and wrong inside of everyone. That's law as a principle. So there's law as a system, which was given to the nation of Israel, the Mosaic law. It was temporary. There is law as a principle, the rights and wrongs given to all people. Now, I want you to understand something before we go any further. Listen carefully. The law is not the basis for salvation. The law is not the basis for the Christian life. We are not saved by keeping the law. We do not live the Christian life by keeping the law. I want you to understand, we are not under the Mosaic law for the Christian life. We are not under a set of rules for the Christian life. Now, you may say, well, I've heard a lot of things different than that. Okay, I want you to listen carefully. We'll see it as we go through the passage. But you need to understand something. There's two questions we want to raise based on that. Number one, if we're not under the law for salvation, and if we're not under the law for the Christian life, then number one, how do we live the Christian life? And number two, what's the purpose of the law? Those are great questions. Let's answer the first one. How do we live? If we're not under the law, we don't live the Christian life by a set of rules, how do we live? Galatians 5:16 says we walk in the Spirit. We live the Christian life and the power of the Holy Spirit is inside of us. Galatians 5:16 says walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 5:18 says be filled with the Spirit. Romans chapter 7 verse 6 says, and as we'll see it this morning, we walk in the newness of the Spirit. So how do we live the Christian life? It is not a set of rules. It is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a relationship with God and fellowship with God in the power of the Holy Spirit. You remember what we saw in Romans chapter 6 where he says, don't present yourself to the flesh. Present yourself to God. He's talking about the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And so how in the world do we live the Christian life? It is a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now that takes us to the second big question. What's the purpose of the law then? Because there are people who have been taught that the law saves you. There are a lot of people, and there may even be some in this room, who believe by trying to live a good life, you're going to go to heaven. That's thinking that being good, living by a set of rules, living by the law, some people even say the Mosaic law, we're going to be saved. You can't be saved by the law because you can't keep the law. There are other people who say, well, wait a minute, you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's okay, you trust. But then, as a Christian, you have to live by the law. That's what that theologian quoted. What's the purpose of the law? There are really three things. There are a lot more, but the three big ones. Let me give you the first one. The first one is, the law shows the character of God. Romans chapter 7 verse 12 says, the law is holy, the commandment is holy and righteous and good. The law shows us the character of God. When you look at whether it's Mosaic law or the law inside of you, the concept of rights and wrongs, it shows a perfect standard. It is the character of God. It shows us what our God is like. But there's a second thing. The law also shows us that we're a sinner and we need a Savior. In Romans chapter 3, verse 19, which we saw earlier in the book, he says that the law shuts our mouth, that all the world becomes guilty before God. The law shows us that we can't measure up. The law is the perfect character of God. You're not perfect. You can't measure up. I talked to a person the other day. I said, are you going to heaven? We were talking about salvation. And things. I said, are you going to heaven? The person said, I don't think so. I said, why not? I said, well, because I don't think I've been good enough. I said, how good you got to be? Well, probably better than I am now. But I think, you know, baby, you just got to be pretty good. I said, well, I'm pretty good is pretty good. And that person then understood that it's not pretty good, it's perfect. The law is a perfect standard. It's the character of God. You want to get to heaven by being good, you have to be perfect. Nobody can measure up to that. The law shows us that we are sinners and we need a Savior. The law is the character of God, it's perfect. The law shows us we are sinners and need a Savior. And there is a third thing that the law does. It's found in Galatians chapter 3, verses 21, 22, 24, and 25. It says that the law points us to the Savior, Jesus Christ. The law is a picture of Christ. It's his character. And when we look into the law, we say, I can't keep all that. That's exactly right. I can't be that good. I've messed up. You're exactly right. You're a sinner. You need a Savior. The Savior is Jesus Christ. When we come to the law, we realize we're sinners. We see the perfect character of God. We do not measure up. And the law points us to our only hope, and that is Jesus. The law has a purpose. It is not to save you, and it is not the standard that you live the Christian life. Its purpose is to show you the character of God, show you that you are a sinner, and point you to the Savior. That's the purpose of the law. Now, with all that in mind, let's look at Romans chapter 7. And we're going to see a tremendous truth about law in Romans chapter 7. And listen to this. You remember in Romans 6, we said that when you put your faith in Christ, you were connected with Him and you died and rose with Christ to a new life and you died to the flesh? Now, we saw that for the last 3 to 4 weeks. You died to your flesh, which is your bent to do wrong. We're going to find in the book of Romans chapter 7 that when you put your faith in Christ, you're united with Him and you died and rose again with Him to a new life. And guess what? Not only did you die to the flesh, you died to the law. See, the law has a purpose. The law is to show you you're a sinner and you need a Savior. Once you believe in Jesus and you connect with Him and you die and rise again to a new life, you die to the law. We'll talk about it as we go through the passage. Let's look what he says. Romans chapter 7, he's moving to this and he starts off by raising this question. He says, "Do you not know, brethren," I'm speaking to those who know the law, "that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives?" And he's writing to believers. He says, "Do you not know, brethren?" And he's writing and he's saying, you know, I think you know this. This is something they should already know. He says, "I'm speaking to those who know the law." And when a person, when he talks about that, if it was a Jewish person, they would say, well, I know the law. I know the law of Moses. If he's talking to a Gentile, they would know the law of the rights and wrongs and even the law of the Roman government. And there is a law system out there. There's the concept of rights and wrong. And notice what he says. "I'm speaking to you who know the law." Don't you know, brother? "I'm speaking to you who know the law. That the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as he lives." Now, the law has control or jurisdiction over a person as long as they live. If you're still alive, he's saying, you got to be under the law. And the law has its power over you. Now, here's what you've got to remember. We ain't got to it yet, but here's what you got to remember. You're not alive anymore. You died and rose again with Christ. You died to the law. It does not have jurisdiction over you anymore. That's what he's going to show. Now, watch what he says. Don't you know, brethren, I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law has jurisdiction over a person as long as they live? And it does. And he's going to give an illustration. He's going to give an illustration that all of them would understand, and it has to do with marriage. And look what he says. "For the married woman is bound by law to her husband while he's living. But if her husband dies, she's released from the law concerning the husband." And he says, don't you realize that if, let's say, this woman is married to this man, as long as that man is alive, in a sense, they're bound together, they're husband and wife. Now, if he dies, she's no longer bound to him. That's why that whole thing says, till death do you part. And so he's saying, don't you see the concept that as long as you're alive, you're bound to that person? That's what he's saying there. Then in verse 3, he says, now, let me give you an illustration. "So then, if while her husband is living, she's joined to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she's free from the law, so that she's not an adulteress, though she is joined to another man." Now, he uses it this way. He says, but what if, like, she's married, she's bound to her husband. What if she marries somebody else? Well, she's still bound to this husband. That's his illustration. So now she's an adulteress. Now, but if he dies and she decides to marry somebody else, she's not an adulteress. So his point is, as long as you're married, that's his point in this thing, you're bound. And his idea for us is, as long as we were alive, we were bound to the law. What's the law's purpose? The law looks at me and says, I'm the perfect character of God. Yeah. You messed up. Yeah. You're going to die. Yeah. You better look at Christ. Yeah. That's what the law does for me. I'm married to the law. I was. You were too. But then you believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you died to the law. And you got married to Christ. Watch what he says. "Therefore, my brethren," verse 4, "you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another," who is that? "To him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God." Now, here's his point. He gave a silly illustration. That's why he says, well, what if a woman's married? She's bound to her husband long, because that's what the law says. You're bound to your husband. If your husband dies, you're free. And he says, now, think about you. You died to the law so that you're free from the law. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, you were also made to die to the law." Now, before you were saved, before you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you were bound to the law. See, the law had its purpose in your life to say to you, you're a sinner, you need a Savior, you better look to Christ. That's what the law's purpose is, because you can't measure up to it. He says, but now you were made to die to the law. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you died to the law. In fact, when Jesus died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose again, you rose again to a new life. We saw that back in chapter 6. It's the same truth here. You died and rose again with Christ to a new life. Just as in Romans chapter 6, you died and rose again to a new life and you died to the flesh. In Romans chapter 7, he says, you died and rose again and you died to the law. Now watch what he says. Therefore, my brethren, you were also made to die to the law. That how? Through the body of Christ. How? Because when you trusted in Christ, you're identified with him so that you might be joined to another. Now, the word joined to another there is kind of a play on words because he's given an analogy of marriage. He says, you were married to the law. The law had its purpose in your life. You died to the law and rose again with Jesus Christ so you could be connected and married to him. It's true. You're married to Christ. And some other parts of the Bible where Paul writes, he calls the church the body of Christ. He calls them the bride of Christ. He doesn't go into that detail here. He just mentions it. But it is true. We are the bride of Christ. We put our faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. We died to the law. And we were connected with Christ and we rose again. And we're connected with him. Notice what he says. So we made to die to the law through the body of Christ so that you might be joined to another. Who is that? To the one who was raised from the dead. Jesus died and rose again. We're new people in Christ. We were married to the law. We died to the law so we could be married to Christ. We've died to the law. Realize he is saying we are no longer bound to law. We're not under the law. Now, I know this and I mean this. It's so sad to me. I have seen many Christians seek to live the Christian life by a set of rules and laws. They don't understand. That's not the way you live the Christian life. You died to the law. The law has a purpose. What's the law's purpose? To show you're what? A sinner. Show you that you can't measure up. Point you to Christ. I want you to see what the next verse is going to say. It's powerful. But look what he says. Just I want to make sure you got it. He says he was raised from the dead. Notice this. Therefore, my brethren, you were made to die to the law. You did. Through the body of Christ because you got connected with Jesus. So that you might be joined to another, to him, the one who was raised from the dead. Look at this result. In order that we might bear fruit for God. That we would live righteously for God. Galatians 2:19 says, I died to the law so that I can live for God. The Bible never says, connect yourself to the law so you can live for God. It doesn't say that because when you connect yourself to the law, you can't live for God. Law says you're a sinner. In fact, we're going to see in the next verse, the law causes you to sin. I want to explain it in a minute, but it's true. Now, we died to the law so we could be connected with Christ, the one who rose from the dead, so we would bear fruit to God. We bear fruit when we're connected with God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, not by the law. We died to the law. As we saw in chapter 6, when we died and rose again, we died to the flesh and we're free from the flesh. We see in chapter 7, we died to the law and we're free from the law. The law is finished with us. Or we could put it another way. We're finished with the law. The law has done what it's supposed to do in our lives, and that is to say, you can't measure up to God. You need a Savior. You're a sinner. Now watch what he goes on to say. He explains in verse 5 what it's like when you put yourself under law. Now look carefully. For while we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Now watch what he says. He says, while we were in the flesh, and he could be referring to before you trusted in Christ that you lived in the flesh. He could even be saying to a Christian, while you live in the flesh or while you try to live in the flesh, the sinful passions, that's the lust of the flesh, that's the strong desires of our flesh inside of us. It says, which were aroused by the law. Literally in the Greek, it just says, which by the law. And the idea there that the law stirred it up. The law affected the flesh. Now, I want you to understand something. The flesh is basically aroused. The law arouses your flesh. And what it means by that, your flesh reacts to commandments. Now, let me tell you something. That's the way we are. There's a part of us that we know, I've talked about this before, the part we call the flesh, the old man, the bent to do wrong. We have a natural bent to sin. Anytime you put in our lives a rule, a commandment, a law, our flesh naturally rebels. You walk by, it says, do not look through this hole. You say, I'm looking through that hole. I'm looking through the hole. Do not hit your brother. You're going to go hit your brother. You want to get a kid? You say, you want your kid to hug? You don't want somebody to hug you? And they won't hug you? You say, don't you hug me. Don't you come over here and hug me. They'll come running out over there and hug you. Why? Because anytime you give your flesh a command, you naturally rebel against it. If you said to me, you want to study Romans chapter 6? I'd say, oh, I'd love to study. I want to study it. I personally want to study it. But I went, you know what? I went to Dallas Seminary. And if you said to me, would you like to study Romans chapter 6? I said, yeah, I'd like to. I go to a class and they walk in, they say, okay, men, I want y'all to study Romans chapter 6 and give me 15 questions about it tomorrow. You know what I say? I don't want to study Romans chapter 6. Don't tell me what to study. I don't want to tell me. Nobody tells me what to study. Isn't that what the flesh is? You know how I can get you to read Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 13 for next week? Do not read Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 13 for next week. I don't want you looking at it. You will look at it. That's the flesh. That's how we respond. Whenever you put a law system in front of any human being, we naturally say, I'm not doing that. Don't you tell me what to do. Speed limit 65. What are you going to drive? 67. See, because I'm going to break that baby because nobody's going to tell me I have to go exactly 65 because my flesh says nobody should tell me what to do. He says this, when we're in the flesh, the sinful passions which are aroused, affected by law, were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. Let me tell you something. The law's not bad. The law's good. The law's the character of God. Chapter 7, verse 12 says it's holy and just and perfect and righteous. The law is not what's bad. What's bad is we can't keep the law. And anytime the law comes in front of the flesh, we want to rebel against it. That's why you can't live the Christian life by a set of rules. If you do, you will be sinning all the time. You'll be angry all the time. You'll be fussing all the time because you'll say, I'm not doing this stuff. God didn't give you a set of rules and says, now you better keep those things. He says, walk in the Spirit. Have a relationship with me and walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. Now for some of you, you never even heard this. I talked to people, they left first service. Somebody said, I've never heard this before. I said, go back and read Romans 7. Because anytime you put yourself under a law system, it's going to make you sin. Notice what he says, that we're aroused by the law. We are at work in the members, we're at work in the members of our body. What did it produce? To bear fruit for death. Law doesn't, when you come under a law, your flesh produces sin. Sin produces death. In fact, Romans chapter 7, verse 8 says, the law taking opportunity through, or my flesh taking opportunity by the law produced in me all kind of coveting. He said, when the law said, don't covet, my flesh said, I'm coveting all I want to. That's exactly what happens. Now, we're different. Watch verse 6. But now we have been released from the law. We died to the law. Having died to that which bound us. I want you to understand how we're released. Two different things. We died and rose again with Christ. We're bound with, we were bound with the law, but we're now bound to Christ. We're dead to the law in that sense. But there's a second thing. Remember, the law has finished its work. The law has finished what it's doing for us. That's why he says, but now we have been released from the law. Why? Because it's through. It's over with us. Having died to that which we're bound, we died when we rose again with Christ. We trusted in him and died and buried with him. The purpose of the law is not to save us. The purpose of the law is not to tell us how to live the Christian life. We died to the law. We've been released from the law. And notice what he says. Here's the key to this whole thing. Last part of verse 6. So that we may serve in newness of the Spirit, Holy Spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. The letter means the law. He says, here's the key. From now on, see, we died to the law so that now we serve in the power of the Holy Spirit, not in the law. We don't put ourselves under law because if you put yourself under law, what are you going to do? Your flesh is going to say, I'm not doing that. And when your flesh rebels, you sin. And when you sin, you produce death. If you walk in the Spirit, there's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's what it says. Galatians 5, 22, 23. There is no law that can produce righteousness. Law causes you to sin. So we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. We live the Christian life, not in law. Because the law doesn't have the power for us to keep it. The law just tells you what to do, but it doesn't give you the power. Now, let you stop and think about this, because we're just about through. Christian life is not lived by law. We were bound to the law, which produced in us sin and death and affect our flesh. And then when we trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we died and rose again to a new life. We died to the flesh and we died to the law. We're now to live in the power of the Holy Spirit, which produces fruit for God rather than fruit which is death. Now, let me make sure you understand something. We are not under the law system for the Christian life. It brings sin. We are under the grace system in the Christian life, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying, I want to clarify, I'm not saying we don't do right and wrong. I'm not saying we ignore rights and wrongs. I'm saying it's a whole different way of trying to live the Christian life. You don't sit down all the rights and wrongs and say, I'm going to try to obey those things. It will make you sin. You say, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. I'm going to live in a relationship with my Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm going to live by the Word of God. I'm going to wake up in the mornings. I'm going to say, God, I want to present myself to you. I want to live for you. I want to walk in the Spirit. And I want to obey you and live for your honor and your glory. That's totally different than having a set of rules to go by. You put yourself under law, you will sin. You put yourself in the power of the Holy Spirit, you will produce a life of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, meekness, self-control. We're not rejecting rights and wrongs. We are living by the truths and the principles found in God's Word, but it is a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. We serve in the newness, as he says, of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the law. There's more on this next time. So think about it. And if you got a question, call me, come by and see me, talk to me. This is a powerful passage. Just as I said, Romans chapter 6 is the key to having victory in the Christian life. Romans chapter 7 is the key to not living a life of sin. What have we seen? We're bound to the law as long as we live. The law affects our flesh and results in sin. We died and rose in Christ and died to the law. We have a new life to bring fruit to God, and we serve not in the law, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you some applications. Here's the first one. Understand the purpose of the law. Remember what it is? The law shows us we're sinners. The law shows us the character of Christ. The law points us to a Savior. The law shows you're a sinner. I read a saying the other day. It says, many a person has tried to follow the Ten Commandments, but they never quite caught up to them yet. It's true. The law points us to Christ. It points us to the Savior, to the one who can save. The law is not for salvation. The law is not for Christian life. John Wesley said this, the law cannot save us. If people try to establish their own righteousness by law, they must understand that the law requires perfect obedience. You can't be perfect obedient to be saved. You can't be perfectly obedient to live the Christian life. The law will cause you to sin. It really does. The law does not empower us. Look at number two. The Christian life is not lived by keeping the law. Number one, you cannot keep it. Number two, it reacts. Your flesh reacts to the law and brings sin. That takes us to number three. We walk in the power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. Have you noticed, if you look through the Bible, you will not find Paul or the New Testament people writing to us Christians saying, now you got to keep the Mosaic law, or you got to keep the law, or put yourself under the rules, or put yourself in subjection to this. In fact, they say just the opposite. They say things like, walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit. We walk in the power of the Holy Spirit to live the Christian life. A, we died and rose again with Christ. When you believed in Jesus Christ, you died and rose again with Christ. B, we died to the law. The law has served its purpose in our lives. You died to it. You don't need the law. C, we produce fruit for God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may say, yeah, I'm not sure I got it. That's okay, because next week we start at verse 7 and we go through verse 13. He continues with this issue, and he's going to show you in more detail what happens when you determine that you're going to live by law, that you're going to put yourself under commands, and you're going to try to live the Christian life that way. He'll show us what happens. By faith in Jesus Christ, we died and rose again with Christ, dying to the law, which by the flesh produced sin. And now we walk in the Spirit, producing fruitful lives for God. May we live in such a way that we bring glory to Christ. Understand that it's not the set of rules and the laws, because the law brings death. The Spirit brings life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these passages. Help us as we look at this to understand it, Lord. We know it's different than some people have heard. And as we look down your passage, Lord, and we see what you say, we understand the purpose of the law is not to save us, No one has ever kept the law, so you can't be saved by the law. The law points to the Messiah, to the Savior. We know that even the Christian life, those of us who have trusted in Jesus, that the Christian life is not lived by keeping the law, because we can't keep it and our flesh reacts against it. We know that the Christian life is lived as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, a walk of faith. And so, Lord, I pray for each of us in this room, as we look at this, we'll begin to have an understanding of how all this fits, and that we'll realize that we walk in faith, a walk of faith in the power of the Holy Spirit, as we live according to the Word of God. Lord, would you help us to understand it and live it out in our lives? Thank you for each one that is here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.